Late Night Talk.
Let's get straight into it. Lenora, good evening and thank you for joining us.
Hi, yes, good evening. Thank you for having us on. Good to be with you.
Great stuff. So, it's been two decades since a Canadian doctor discovered that dragon boat racing had a healing effect on people battling breast cancer. Please explain to me what dragon boat racing is. It sounds, I was confused. I'm completely and utterly confused by this notion. So please do enlighten me.
Okay, well, dragon boating is originated in the East, and it's a long boat that seats 20 people, and it's helmed by a steers person, and very often there's a drummer in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually, this sport made its way into the West, and as you correctly said, just over two decades ago, a sports physician came up with the idea of doing a trial on with 20 women who had undergone breast surgery of some form, including mastectomies, and they enjoyed it so much that it was the birth of the first pink team.
Okay, so just draw the connection for me, if you can just be so kind as to balance me, because on the one end I'm thinking I'm imagining it. So there's someone drumming away, sort of maintaining the rhythm, I presume, of the people rowing and doing their thing with their oars, and then on the, so while that is happening, then you have people actually working those oars, and you're saying that actually has a positive impact on a physiological and medical level when it comes to breast cancer?
Yes, absolutely. Because women who have undergone breast surgery have also, 9 out of 10 times, they've also had glands removed. And that very often can cause a condition we call lymphedema, which is a tremendously painful swelling of the arm. It doesn't happen to everybody, but it happens frequently. And it can also happen years and years after you've actually had your mastectomy. So the upper body exercise, which paddling on a dragon boat involves, is tremendous for the circulation and the vigorous arm movement that's involved helps tremendously with preventing lymphedema. It's a very painful condition.
I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm absolutely fascinated by this idea because, you know, generally when we speak about these, the linkages between sports and, say, for example, whether it be breast cancer or any other, illness, it's usually the role that sports plays in that particular department would be one of raising awareness, raising money and, you know, so forth and so on. And I'm not saying that this is also not part of the broader general agenda, but what I find absolutely fascinating is that this year is actually also the healing process. So how large is your team then that's participating in this, and how do you get involved in the team? Is it people who are symptomatic, people who have been discovered to say there's a mass of some sort, or there's a tumor of some sort growing, or are these people that have undergone surgery already and this is how they're healing?
Yes. Well, that's a lot of questions all at once. Let me just start by saying that that there are many different types of support groups for women that have undergone cancer. You know, and the big scary C word isn't as scary as it used to be. Mm. There is a very vibrant life possible after breast cancer in particular. And support groups of all natures are important for women who are facing cancer, especially some of us who have had recurrences of the breast cancer. So I think it's important for women to join some sort of a support group. The advantage of our floating support group is that not only are we supportive of one another because we've gone through similar journeys, but it's very well established that exercise produces endorphins, and endorphins just make you happier. I mean, that's just a well-established fact. Mm. You always feel better when you get off the boat after an hour of paddling in our stunning harbour here in Cape Town. You can't help but be able to push your troubles aside after an hour of vigorous exercise. But we try to raise awareness of our group through oncology centres, through oncologists, word of mouth. We try and publicize on our Facebook page. We try and, just tell doctors of the benefits. We write letters, publicity such as yours, newspapers, that sort of thing, gets the word out.
No, indeed. And I mean, and how then does the team, or how do you put together the teams, and at what level do they participate at? I mean, is this sort of purely recreational, which is obviously absolutely fine, or is it actually competitive as well?
Well, it's a little bit of both. It's really, you get out of dragon boating what you put into it. There are a number of dragon boating teams located in Cape Town. Most of them are mixed teams. The Armabella Bowls was founded by Pam Newby in 2006. And, you know, the participation on a team such as ours depends on women who are perhaps undergoing treatment again, or maybe they just, you know, have other situations that they're facing. So our membership comes and goes. But we generally seat anywhere between 12 to 18 women on any given training day, which is twice a week. Occasionally, we actually have more people on a boat, and we are comprised not only of breast cancer survivors, but also breast cancer supporters. So several of our spouses sometimes come down, sometimes daughters come down, sometimes your best friend comes down, and it's lovely to have that mixture. What would be incredible is if we could grow our particular team to such an extent that we could have a purely social team and a very competitive team, because you get everything, you get all factors on our boat. Some of us are very competitive, and others just so enjoy a little bit of exercise, and they don't put too much stress on the boat when they're on there, and others are super competitive. So yeah, you get a little bit of both. But also the nice thing about dragon boating is that because it's a seated sport, it can suit all levels of fitness, size, age, you know, because you come, you sit down, you start at the back of the boat, and you just watch what the others are doing, you join in, and when you feel like you're too tired, you just lift the paddle out of the water and you just come along for the ride. So it's extremely suitable for just about anybody.
So in other words, someone that's post-op, that's recovering, you know, still sort of getting themselves into it all, they can participate. Someone that's a fitness junkie and has been doing this for years, they can do it. And it's a mixed environment. I mean, obviously, in terms of accessibility, generally speaking, because especially when one talks about boat racing, there's always this assumption that it's almost, there's a level of exclusivity, because A, there's an assumption that A, you should be able to swim, that you should even know that such a sport exists. And we know that breast cancer cuts across class, it cuts across race, income levels, all that stuff. Do you have a diverse team, or would it be nice to be able to up the diversity a bit?
We would love to up the diversity. That's a very good question. I myself do quite a lot of recruiting, because I visit patients in hospital as well, and I go to private and state hospitals. But what I find is a general fear of water amongst a certain group of people, and I have to help them overcome that. We do offer life jackets. In the 7.5 years I've paddled, I've never been part of a capsize. But, you know, it can happen, and one doesn't want to be prepared. There's a number of people on a boat that do prefer to paddle with life jackets, but the bulk of the people don't. Racing does sort of insinuate that it's an aggressive sport, and dragon boating can be very aggressive. We just returned from Spain, and we were.
I was about to ask you about it.
Yeah, our breast cancer team was needing to find 2 seconds in order to take home the trophy, and we found them. But we had to be extra aggressive in our paddling. So, but that's, you know, we wanted this very badly, and we trained very hard in the lead up to our departure for Spain. We were out on the water 3 times a week, and most of us cross-train as well. And so we worked extremely hard to win that, not only the breast cancer category, but also to win the overall cup, which is an incredible achievement, honestly.
That is, for me, absolutely stunning, because, I mean, that again then takes it back to the level of commitment of your participants. I mean, this is not something that you are, you know, by yourself. You're not running this by yourself. You know, it's not something that you would be able to achieve by yourself, albeit the effort that you put into it. I mean, you need to have that team that actually participates, and to be recognized at that international level definitely speaks volumes, in my opinion.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And, you know, cancer shouldn't be dealt with on your own either. It's wonderful to be part of a team that understands where you've been and what you've gone through. Now, every woman's breast cancer journey is different, but you still have that common denominator of having faced this, the capital C word in your life. And how did you cope with that? And how did your family cope? And what is your support network? And, of course, social media goes a long way in assisting us in this respect as well. I'm sad to say that Dragon Boat Team in general is much more accessible in Australia, New Zealand, Europe, and in North America. It's a very difficult sport to grow here. Lack of a place to store our boat. So our boats are stored in the water year-long, which is not great for the boat. It really should be taken out after each session and rinsed off and stored in the dry. So our boats need a lot of maintenance. Mm. We also paddle in a working harbour, which has its issues as well. You know, there's bridges going up and down and yachts coming in and out and fishing trawlers and tourist vessels. So those of us that helm the boat have to be very vigilant about just the boat traffic in the harbour. So it's exciting, to be honest, to paddle in the harbour, but the accessibility and being able to mix and race against other countries and other provinces, etc., there's something to that. Having mixed now with European and American teams in Spain, it was interesting to hear them talk about the various regattas that they do all year long against this team or that country or this state or this province. And so that's a downside for us, which makes it even more impressive that we actually won the BC category as well.
No, for sure. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, for me, there's so many, there's so many departments, government departments that should be getting involved in this, Lenora. I mean, immediately what comes to mind is the Department of Sports and Recreation. There's also the Department of Health, because there's so many health benefits. Yes. I mean, it's both the physical aspect to it as well as the psychosocial, which you've highlighted. Yes. And I haven't even spoken about, because, of course, a team setup is a good space. It gives people an opportunity to mix with other people, number one. Number two, as you said, it's a support group, because we have something in common, right? This is the difficulty that we went through, and we are able to relate to each other on that particular level. So, it's both psychosocial as well as physical in nature, and makes ample sense for me for this, that this is actually supported on a grander scale. But I got two questions via Twitter that I just wanted to ask you. Actually, three that's coming through. It's actually amazing. So Tavo wants to know, can men take part in this dragon boat race? How much does it cost? And where and when does this happen? And any age restrictions? So if you can just maybe take us through some of those logistics.
Yes. Okay. So, Pavel, if you're in Cape Town, there are a number of mixed teams that go out. The bulk of us paddle on a Saturday morning. There's two mixed teams that go out at 8 a.m. Our boats are docked on the south side of Cape Grace. So you would need to come into the waterfront. If you come by My City Bus, you'll get off there and then you'll just come across the bridge by Cape Grace, right there by the bascule. You'll see a lot of dragon boats parked in a little narrow water slipway. But we do have men on our boat as well. Not too many, but there are men that paddle on our boat. There's a great camaraderie between the teams. So what sometimes happens is somebody hears about dragon boating, they join this team, but in the end they find that another team is maybe a better fit for them. So as I say, they go out at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and then the bulk of teams practice on a Tuesday evening, some on a Thursday evening. So they all have Facebook pages. You could check them out on Facebook. You could start with the Armadale Bells team, and then we can refer you on. Or maybe towards the end of the program, I can give you my cell phone number and I can direct you onto the nearest, most suitable team.
Sure, 100%. Okay, Lenora, I think what we'll do is we'll definitely get those contact details towards the end of the conversation. I'm just taking a quick break and then obviously coming back to some more of the other elements that I think we do need to discuss also around this, and maybe breast cancer awareness, some of the issues some of the lessons that you've learned from the people that you've been working with, just so that we can carry that over for our listeners that might be listening to this. And I know we do talk a lot about breast cancer. There's many, many campaigns out there, but you can't stop raising awareness in this particular space. I'm sure that you'll agree with me on that.
702 Late Night Talk. WhatsApp on 072 702 1702.
Welcome back. It is 26 minutes past 9 o'clock at the moment. We're speaking to Lenora Hammond, who's the chairwoman of the Amabele Bells Breast Cancer Survivors Dragon Boat Racing Team. And a very fascinating conversation. I'm really getting quite the education in this instance. Lenora, as I was saying, you know, there is obviously a lot of awareness raising that is still required in this particular space. I'm pretty sure that you will agree with me that there's a lot of people, unfortunately, who are still in as much as there's a lot, you know, there is a lot of awareness raising in this particular space, and we talk about breast cancer quite a bit, how to look out for it, how to treat it, mm-hmm. when to seek medical attention, and so on and so forth. But it still remains a serious problem, a serious concern, because unfortunately, mm-hmm. we still do find people not necessarily, getting the assistance and the medical attention that they require as soon as they should. But I mean, what are some of the key issues that you've picked up around what some of the survivors have shared with you that is important for people to understand and know when it comes to breast cancer?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is early detection. And what I say when I give any talks, and several of my friends give a lot of talks in the different areas and community centers, and the important thing is to know your own body and to understand and detect any change in it. And, you know, that really goes for pretty much anything, but specifically for breast cancer. So if you're aware of what your breasts should feel like on a regular basis, when you bath, when you shower, that you can immediately detect some sort of change, and then to go to the clinic or go to your doctor and ask if there should be any kind of a concern. Early detection makes a huge difference, because if you wait too long because you're just ignoring it, then the treatment is just that much more severe and possibly irreversible in terms of finding all the cancer. So for sure that. But also just getting the support, getting correct information. How do I get cancer? What is it that happened? Did I do something wrong? Am I being punished? I think there's a lot of misunderstanding regarding cancer. And it's so much more prevalent now. Fortunately, people are talking more about it. And I think even younger and younger women are being spoken to about it, being made more aware of it. And the younger women that I come across, it's sort of like, oh, well, this happens to old women, not to me. And I think this is something that needs to change, is that they need to be aware that it can happen in your 20s and 30s now even as well. We've had very young women on our boat, and I'm sure there's many more women out there doing other things that have come in contact with cancer, with experienced cancer in their early years. Mm. I've had it with a lovely young woman who's got three young children, and, you know, how do you cope with your children? And it becomes a family issue, because when mommy's undergoing treatment, it affects the entire family.
And that is such an important point that you're raising there, because it does have a broader impact on the rest of the family, because obviously also whilst undergoing treatment, and treatment can be very severe in itself. I mean, chemotherapy in itself is extremely taxing. There's also, apart from chemo, there's radiation therapy. Beyond radiation therapy, there's all kinds of other symptoms and side effects that people also live with. And all too often, you know, when the kids are young, they don't quite understand, you know, when mommy's ill. You know, it takes a strain on the family on so many levels. So yes, it is important that there is also then what your team then creates is, as I said earlier on, that psychosocial support network. Because a lot of the time you'll find that these women actually also need relief. In as much as everyone else is stressed, they, to aid their healing, they mm-hmm. also need to de-stress as well during that period. But apart from their own need for de-stressing, it is an extremely difficult situation to be placed in.
Yes, and I would recommend, just going back to the family, that if a woman, when she's finished with her treatment and she decides, okay, now I really want to give this dragon boat team a chance, I would encourage them to get the family involved. If the husband is keen, he can join us on the boat, or maybe a son or daughter is keen to give it a try, because it's something wonderful to experience with your family. Sometimes we just have family members coming down and cheering us on at the races, or maybe they come down to take some photographs, or maybe the bulk of women after a Saturday morning session have coffee together, maybe they join for that. And it just, you know, cross-pollination is what I like to call it. When you talk to other people and you see the journey that they've been on, it helps you to put your own journey into perspective. And frequently, when you've experienced something and you've had certain situations that have come up as a result of your journey and your experience, you can then encourage another person who's maybe not quite as far along as you are in your treatments, and you can encourage them and tell them that you came out at the end okay, and it, you know, it might not be pleasant at the time, but when it's finished, you forget about it and you move on. And you know, you really, as I say, cross pollination amongst cancer survivors is something very special to behold, whether it's over a cup of tea or whether it's in a dragon boat.
So, I mean, that for me stands out immediately. I mean, that is such an important point that you're raising there. But apart from that, also, Lenora, what I also just wanted to check with you there as well is that when it comes to obviously the structure, the support structure in these women participating, whether it be competing or just doing it for fun, for recreation, they're also able to then share with each other best practice, in essence. You know, this worked for me, this is how medication, exercise, whatever the case is, that this actually helped me, and that is why I was able to recover, or these are some of the lessons that I've learned in the process. Is it not so?
Yes, no, very much so. I mean, as I said earlier, every woman's breast cancer situation is different and responds to and requires different treatment. Not only that, but of course, each oncologist or breast surgeon might have a slightly different approach than yours did.
Yeah.
So, you know, breast cancer isn't breast cancer isn't breast cancer. Your family history has a lot to do with it. The stage that you were at, where the tumor is, whether it's ductal, there's so many different factors to consider. So you can never say, oh, well, this is the only treatment. There are many treatment options for you. And a good doctor will discuss all of the options with you and will talk you through. But the fact that we have that big C in common enables us to encourage one another along the journey. And as I say, some of us on our boat have had recurrences. And then we really close rank and support one another during the recurrence and during the treatment, the retreatment again. And the psychological impact that it has, that the cancer returned, you know, that's huge for women. And I think, you know, without a good support group and a good structure, it's just that much harder to endure.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Quickly going to Pusho in Doornfontein, that wants to come in on this one as well, Lenora. Pusho, good evening.
You know.
Yes.
Well, I'm a cancer patient myself. And I'm an African man.
Sure.
And one of the things is, you know, the thing is that there's definitely education amongst us.
Well,
mine is prosthetic. And at the same time, I'm working with homeless people who, I saw three of them who were diagnosed as a guide, unfortunately. And the thing is that sometimes you just don't know where to go. Honestly, you don't know where to go. Myself, I'm talking about myself.
Sure.
Sometimes I just have this mental block. I don't know where to go.
I hear you. And I think that, your experience there is, thanks for sharing it, number one. But number two, I think that it's in itself not a unique experience. I think a lot of people find themselves in that particular space where they don't know where to go next. They have no idea what it is that they have to do after this, and it's a very difficult situation to be in. So thanks for sharing that, and it's true what you're saying. The only solution there is...
May I say something else?
Sure.
If you will. You know, and sometimes, you know, not as African men, I'm talking from my experience.
Yeah.
Is that... We tend to think, well, it's a shame to share something like this.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, it's a shame. And we die unnecessarily, don't we?
Very true. Very true, mate. As sad as it is, it's extremely true what you're saying there.
So can I ask for something? Can you please give me some information? Because I myself need help. I do.
Okay.
And I don't know. Sometimes it's, maybe it's depression, love, or, you know, I honestly need.
So if I can ask you, what you're saying is that I'm just trying to establish a couple of things here. So you are based in Doornfontein, number one.
Yes, sir.
Number two.
I'm working with, at the same time, I'm working with homeless people who are, who got all sorts of things. But I know some of them who got cancer, and they don't know where they can go to.
Okay, so let's do this then. You know, it's not an immediate answer that I can give you, to be honest with you, okay? I can't give you an immediate answer, but what I will definitely do, I'm going to pass you back to the producer. We'll take down your details, right? It is important that we do that. Let's take down your details so that we can obviously come back to you and then say to you that, listen, this is who we've spoken to. These are the people that you can reach out to for assistance. Okay. What we will also do then, obviously, is that I do have Lenora on the line as well. I don't want to put her under, you know, unnecessary pressure, because obviously this is not necessarily the conversation that she was, you know, necessarily prepared for. But if she also has, you know, people that she can refer you to, then you know, we'll also try to help there. But we will take your details. So I'm going to pass you back now. Don't drop your line, Pusho. Leave your details with us. I will also put out a general call, and I hope the listeners are listening. If there is anyone that knows of a support group, then please do reach out to Pusho. Pusho, thanks for sharing your story with us, okay?
Bless you, another. Bless you.
Thank you. Sharp, Mania.
Bless you.
That was Pusho from Doornfontein. And, I mean, he speaks volumes there, you know, Lenora. And I think that this is exactly for me what stands out about what... because yes, we can sit here and we be talking about a lot of stuff, but at the same time, your Dragon Boat Racing team, for me, this is the biggest value that it adds at the end of the day, that it makes a difference in people's lives immediately. There's a support structure. People are physically exercising. They're doing something physical that's good for them, that helps them heal. But also the mental aspect that you can't ever overlook. It's extremely important.
That's correct. Yes. I mean, if there's any number of sports that you can participate in, you can go to the gym, you can do a park run, you can, you know, do CrossFit, Zumba, whatever. And all of those have tremendous value. But there's something very special about women climbing onto a boat 2-3 times a week who have that one thing in common, or at least are supportive of the fact that you have, that you're dealing with cancer. There's something extremely special about that. And I think even we bells sometimes take it for granted. You know, we get off work and we rush down to our boat and we get our paddle in, and yes, we feel better, but sometimes it's good to be reminded of the bigger picture that this is actually a floating support group, and we are literally and figuratively in the same boat.
It's so true. And then, you know, the immense, you know, the immenseness of the importance of getting out there and getting yourself or being part of some of, you know, one or the other form of support structure, I mean, is more than important. You know, Lenora, the other thing that stands out for me immediately is that I think that what you have done inadvertently through, I mean, not inadvertently, you planned on doing this, I guess it was part of the broader plan, but I think that you yourself underestimate the importance of the psychosocial element that you're playing in the lives of people that are part of what you're doing. And that is why, you know, I'm happy to say that you're a South African doing great things, and we mean it in the real sense. You know, this is not just some, you know, some exercise where let's find people that do fun, interesting stuff and feature them. You know, it is exceptional what you're doing, and it's exceptional on the basis that you're actually making a big difference in people's lives. Because going back to that call that we just received, I mean, the point that stands out there for me for Pusho is that support structure is not there. And I think all too often, it is difficult, you know, on a social and psychological level for people to be able to cross the Rubicon and say that these are the issues that I'm facing at the moment, and this is why it's so difficult.
That's correct. That's correct. This journey should never be undertaken on your own. It really shouldn't. And if you don't have a good family support structure, it's extremely important to find a support group that can walk that road with you. It's imperative.
Exactly.
Think dragon boating, if I can just add the fact that every 4 years there is an international breast cancer event that takes place. This year it took place in Florence, Italy.
Mm.
4 years ago it took place in Florida in the USA. And there are over 4,000 breast cancer survivors dragon boating in races. There's well over 250 teams, and it is the world's largest female sporting event, not to mention the world's largest breast cancer event. So what Dr. Don McKenzie did back in 85 was absolutely phenomenal. He is a superstar. He is hailed like a rock star because of what he did to make these women absolutely come alive. I've even heard women say that their life since cancer has taken on more meaning because of the sport that they're engaged in, the people that they mix with, the traveling that they do, etc. So while none of us wish cancer upon ourselves or anybody else for that matter, it just emphasizes the fact that there really is the chance to have a vibrant life after cancer.
No, I hear you 100%. Look, Lenora, you and I can chat all evening about, you know, about what you guys are doing there, and I think really it's amazing. But I think we'll have to bring it to a close now. But before you go, can you just give us a couple of contact details for people that want to reach out to you? And you never know, you know, it could be people that want to help with sponsorship. It could be people that want to join you, people that want a little bit more information. And in some instances, people that just need, you know, that little bit of support, you know, just that extra bit of support. Maybe you can just help us with those with that bit of detail.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so I think I'll start maybe with my cell phone number, which is 082-4247-466. I repeat that. It's 082-4247-466. The second best way probably is to check us out on Facebook, which is Amabella Bell's Dragon Boat. Find us on Facebook there. You can message us there privately. And then thirdly, maybe just my email address, which is Lenora, L-E-N-O-R-A, at frontline.org.za.
Awesome
stuff. I will answer and refer you and do whatever I can to help you find that group that you need to be a part of.
Thank you so much. All the best to you, and good luck. And let's keep in touch, because that way, then you know, we can stay up to date with what you're getting up to, the great stuff that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Okay?
And thanks for the chance for having us on air. We're grateful for the publicity.
Only a pleasure. Only a pleasure there, Lenora. That was Lenora Hammond. She's the chairman of the Amabella Bell's Breast Cancer Survivors Dragon Boat Racing Team. Imagine that, Dragon Boat Racing. Never knew that. I mean, I never knew that it had such massive benefits, especially.